We've been looking at spirit filling, and the reason we're taking our time is that there's a lot of misapplication of Scripture out there, and we haven't been taking our time in Romans, the sixth chapter, if you'll turn there, because it's complicated. I really think that it's very simple. In fact, it's so simple that a lot of people don't get it if you follow what I'm saying. But I'm going to give you a very quick introduction to where we've been so far, and then we'll get into some new material. The first thing is, I don't hold, and we've spent weeks and weeks proving this, that you come to Romans 6:11 to be spirit-filled. I hold, and I've been giving evidence after evidence, that to get to Romans 6:11, you already have a relationship with the Father. The Holy Spirit is already making up thoughts that you lack in your mind, which is where the issue is. And so I would say you're already spirit-filled to get here. Another thing that we've spent a lot of time proving is that when you come to Romans 6:11, it's in the context of fighting or thwarting, would be a better term, not fighting, thwarting or rendering inoperative the sin nature on a sustained basis, let me say. Titus, the second chapter in the 12th verse, says that we can say, if there's an occasional unrighteous thought that comes in, we can say no to that. But when it's a sustained domination, you have that in verse 2, you have that in verse 13, verse 1 rather, verse 13 of this chapter, that when it is a sustained attack of the sin nature, this is one of the places that we need to have our mind. And I would also say that this concept of put your mind above is erroneous. We don't put our mind above. What we do is we put ourselves in a position where we can use the mind of Christ, which will put us above. So all of that is, you know, I'm saying to say this. There is no way anybody, and I'm going to use the word I because I represent all people and it's just easier that way. In the outline I did that, I'll come to that in a minute. But there's no way that any individual Christian can overcome the sin nature on a sustained basis without divine enabling. And the divine enabling is shown here in this passage, and we're going to get more into it. So as we come here, we have to have one, and I'm going to go there, the fourth chapter of Romans. This is a very important concept which people don't get. In the 11th verse of the 6th chapter, where it says, reckon yourself dead, that word reckon means to count, and in the context, it means to count something that doesn't exist as though it does exist. So when I say that I'm dead to the sin nature, I'm not really dead to it, but I'm counting it. Now, how do I count it? And we got to count like God, but we're not God. There's a similarity, but not identity. And over in Romans, the 4th chapter, and the 17th verse, the last part, we have a definition of how God counts. So we don't count exactly like Him because we're not perfect. We don't know the beginning from the end and all in between and see it in sequence instantaneously. He does. But we do see through faith, we see in our mind's eye the future of the fact that we're going to have a resurrected body and that we're going to be with Christ. If you don't have that central to the theme of Romans, the 6th chapter, you don't understand the chapter. We've been over it several times. But back in the 4th chapter and the 17th verse of the book of Romans, you have a definition of how God counts, which is an example, not identity, to how we should count. And in the last part of the 17th verse, it says, and God, the who there, God makes alive the dead, and calls things that are not in existence as though they are in existence. So that means when we go over to the 11th verse of the 6th chapter, we, in this same fashion or in this manner, we're to count ourselves dead, which we're not really, really are not dead as a person to the sin nature. Now, the way we can count ourselves dead is what we're going to function on today, because as a person, I cannot, even if I leave this body, as a person, I'm never dead. That's never exist. A person never dies. So how do I count myself dead to the sin nature? Well, the last part of the verse is very clear. Because you're alive unto God the Father. The point here is, and what we're going to spend some time here is, it involves getting my bodily appetites under control, and then I can count myself dead, not because I really am dead to the sin nature, but because my life is so much over here, and my function and my focus is so much over here to the Father. Now, does the sin nature ever stop? No. But the Holy Spirit, with this divine enabling, will make the thoughts that please the Father so much more attractive than the thoughts that come from the flesh. They're still going to come. They're still going to come. Now, another thing this in review is I don't believe that a Christian, I don't see here in this context or in any part in the New Testament, that a Christian is living their position in Christ unless they're rightly related to the Father and thus rightly related to the Son as the head. Let me say it another way. If a Christian is living a life of carnality, they cannot say, I'm in Christ, in terms of their positional, they cannot be thinking positionally. In other words, I'm saying that if I have sin in my life, I cannot just say, well, I'll put my mind above. That is the biggest, that's just stupid. I don't know how else to say. I was going to say hogwash. Your dad loves that for that concept. It's just hogwash. How can I put my mind above when I got it down here on me? Whenever we sin, we're putting our own desires ahead of what God. Whenever we sin, we're saying God has no restrictions. There's a verse. Sin is lawlessness. Lawlessness is sin. So as we come here, what I want to look at today, as I want to look at this concept of we got to have our body under control. I started a little bit last week, but I'll look at it. Now, if you look at verse 6, we've been through this context many times. Look at verse 6. It says, knowing that our old man was in the past crucified with Christ, that the body that contains sin, probably be a good way to, might be rendered inoperative. Look down at verse 13, where it says, in verse 12, neither yield the members, this is the members of your body, as weapons of unrighteousness, but yield yourself to God. Go back to verse 12. Let not the sin nature, therefore, reign as king in your diable body. Now, we have to get our body under control to have a sustained attack of the sin nature thwarted. And that is something we cannot do on our own. Now, I want to explore that just a little bit. If you'll turn back, and this is again review, back to 1 Peter, the first chapter, and we want to look. I see in your notes I have the 13th verse, but it should read the 11th verse. So it's changed the notes. It should read the 11th verse. 1 Peter, the second chapter, the 11th verse. As dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, we should be acting as though here on earth is a temporary time. Abstain, hold back from fleshly lust. This is carnality, which fight a limited warfare. These lusts fight a limited warfare against the soul. Now, here's the weak part of our body. Our soul is contained in our body. It's inseparable. In fact, we have verses that say when the soul leaves the human body, the body is dead. We have other verses that says when the human spirit leaves, the body is dead. Both of them are immaterial parts. We never have a verse that the soul and the spirit of a human being are separated. Then they wouldn't be a person. But here it says that that is the weak part. Now, here's what the senses do. What the soul does. The soul interprets my five senses. The soul is also that which gives me the instinct to survive physically. The soul animates the physical body. Why do you, and it involves all, this is all the soul, when you touch a hot stove, why do you pull back? That instinct is coming from the soul. Why do, when you face death, have the instinct of try to thwart that? Now, I want to say that this is something that is so prevalent in the modern, if I've noticed anything in modern news, is that they try to keep people so scared of dying that they can control them. And this is a very important concept for Christians to know. And so I want to deal with these weaknesses of the soul. So the soul then is housed where? The soul has an instinct to live. Where is it housed? It's housed in my body. What is my body at this point? Subject to death. So automatically my soul, if there's no intervention, my soul's going to lose the battle eventually, because there's something called the life cycle. So the soul then is trying to do something that can't be done. That's why people, rich people try to set up things where they live forever. I wouldn't want to. Sometimes when I look at the news, I think I've about had enough already. Why would I want to do this longer than I'm supposed to? So we want to look at that. So one of the weaknesses then that the human body has, that the soul has a weakness to, that the sin nature is going to come in and going to try to find the weakness, is in the realm of being subject to death. It's also in the realm, if you want to, you can go through all the 17 works of the flesh, and you can see that they're all a warping of the life, of the instinct to live, and our bodily senses. They all are emotion. I forgot that one. They're either emotion that's gone awry, or they're the instinct to live. That's the first four. And emotions that go awry, or they're some kind of feelings or emotion that have gone awry. Those are the attacks of the flesh. So, how do I, as a Christian, in my thinking, have these under control? Now, I'm going to tell you straight out, I cannot do it on my own. Now, I'm going to use I because it's a lot quicker in outlines than saying the individual Christian, okay? So we'll just use I here, but the I represents each of you too, okay? So I'm just going to do that as we go through here today. Now, the first thing we have to do, this is again review, go to the sixth chapter of the book of Romans. We have to understand, this is what we call living the future in the present. And we have to understand that this body is a temporary body. Sixth chapter of the book of Romans, the fifth verse, and I'll give you a translation on it. For since we have in the past been joined with the likeness of Christ's death. That's his death. That would be his physical death. I want to talk about that in a minute. Contrarywise, indeed, we shall be joined to his resurrection. In this passage, if I cannot count myself to be alive unto God the Father, because unless I realize that I'm going to have a future resurrection or change at the live generation at the rapture. That's the whole basis, because you have the word belief down in verse 8, and it says in verse 8 that we shall also live with him. Now, as a Christian, this is all Christian truth, and actually it's not just Christian truth, it's Christians who are rightly related to the Father. I should not have any fear of death. And in other words, let me just put it to you frankly. Every time on the news they try to scare the heebie-jeebies out of you if you get this China virus that you're going to die. Well, we got proof here that not everybody that gets the China virus dies. We got the Wuhan family. The Wuhan kid. They came back. Now, according to the way the news tries to scare people into doing all kinds of strange things, affecting almost every aspect of life, is based on the fact that people are scared to die. Now, as a Christian, if you're scared to die, you're not rightly related to the Father, tell you right out. Now, let's look over at 1 Corinthians 15, 1 Corinthians 15. This is the thinking that a Christian has to have to count themselves to be alive unto the Father. 1 Corinthians 15. I'm just going to skip down in this passage, but you should read it often, or keep it in mind often. Verse 53. Now, it's talking about a glorified body, and it's including both the live generation when Jesus returns and those that have gone on to be with him before. And in verse 53, it's talking about bodies, so I'm going to add it. I'm not adding to Scripture, I'm just adding to our understanding and the meaning. Verse 53, for this corruptible body will put on like outward clothes incorruption. What does that mean? The body now that has in the, that I have and you have that's in the aging process will no longer be in an aging process. It'll no longer decay. Keep going. This mortal, what does mortal mean? Subject to death body must put on as an outward cloth immortality. No longer subject to death. That's what it's talking about back in the 6th chapter in the 5th verse. That my resurrection has been joined to his resurrection. That's what it's talking about in the 8th verse, that I will live with him. Now keep going, verse 54, for when this corruptible body, subject to decay, shall put on incorruption, and this mortal body, subject to death, put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass, saying that it is written, death, where death is swallowed up, where is your victory? O death, this is the process of death, where is your sting like a scorpion? O grave, or really process of death, where is your victory? There isn't one. And that's why when this flu came down, or actually this China virus came down at the beginning, I said, as a Christian, we do not walk in front of the bus, but we don't stop getting on it. What I meant to say is we are prudent and proper with our hygiene, but we're not so scared that we live in a closet. We don't walk in front of the bus, but we don't stop getting on it. And if you, not you, if I, let's keep it with me, if I, because you misunderstand when I use you, I don't mean you specifically, I mean generically. If I, as a Christian, am so scared to death, I better stop and look and see in my personal life if I have my relationship to the Father correct, because if I have the relationship with the Father correct, I understand the promises that he's given me in terms of my future resurrection and glorification, and the fact that I'm just temporarily here right now. Keep going. Verse 55. O process of death, where's your sting like a scorpion? O process of death, where's your victory? The sting of the process of death is the sin nature. So if you're worried about dying, and dying is in the forefront of your mind to everything you do, don't drive on the cotton picking freeway. If you're worried about dying, don't do anything. If you really, did you know that there's over 50,000 people a year, I think I'm right, you can look this up, that die of accidents in cars a year. The majority of those people, you can look this up, die of head injuries. So if you're really worried about dying, wear a football helmet when you drive. Well, if it saves one life, it'd be worth it. Verse 56, the sting like a scorpion of the process of death of the sin nature. If you're really, as a Christian, worried about dying physically because you never die spiritually, then who's ruling in your life? Says it right here, the sin nature. And the inherent strength of the sin nature is the law, because rules make it better for the sin nature. Did you notice that people in charge like to make rules for other people, not for themselves? Oh, they just love rules, but not for themselves. Verse 57, but thanks be to God, which gives us the victory, what? Over death, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Those words mean something. If I see Christ as Lord of my life, and I have him as the head of the body, and I'm a subordinate part of that body, and if I see that he is also the person that died for my sins and was buried, and also the person that rose again the third day, then death doesn't mean a thing. Do you know why? Keep your finger here and go to Romans, or Revelation rather, the first chapter and the 18th verse. First chapter, the 18th verse. Why as a Christian? Now this goes back. As a Christian, I don't flaunt death. I don't go up and kiss on the cheek everybody that's got the China virus. No, I use prudence. I remember before this ever started that about 2 years ago, Jan likes to shake hands. He came in the back door and I was going to shake his hand. He said, no, I got a bad cold. Prudent. Just made sense. Over in Revelation, the first chapter and the 18th verse, this is Christ speaking, I am he that liveth and became dead in the state of death. Behold, I am alive into the age from the ages. Amen. I have the keys, plural, of hell and of the process of death. Now, he has the keys of hell because he keeps it shut for us. And he has the key, the other key, for the process of death is because I cannot die, you cannot die, until the moment the Lord Jesus Christ says, now it's time. Now it's time. Now, that, again, from a human point of view, I still have culpability to be reasonable and proper. Don't walk in front of the bus. But I'm not scared of the bus. I get on it and take a ride. Well, actually, I wouldn't in New York or Portland, but don't take that metaphor too far. It's just a metaphor. So here's the thinking. As I make myself dead to the sin nature, I realize that the sin nature wants to control some of the aspects that come through my body. The sin nature, let's read the verse over in Romans, the 6th chapter, and we want to read the 12th and 13th verses of the Romans, the 6th chapter, the 12th and 13th verses. This is what the sin nature wants to do with my body. Stop, verse 12, 6th chapter of Romans. Stop letting the sin nature therefore reign as king in your diable body. What's the reverse? If I'm focused on a promise that this body's going to be resurrected and that one day it's not going to be diable, the sin nature is not going to reign. Do you see how you can turn this stuff around? And that should be that we should obey the sin nature and the lust that come from it. Neither or stop yielding or presenting the members of your body. Now your members of the body that do things, we'll get over to Colossians, the 3rd chapter, you'll see that. That the members of your body as weapons of unrighteousness to the sin nature. But yield or present yourself to God as those that are alive out from among dead ones. And that's the key. I cannot, now let me get this very clear here. I cannot consider myself or reckon myself something that is not as though it is. I cannot reckon myself dead to the sin nature until at the same time, simultaneously, I reckon myself alive unto God the Father. You have it in the last part of verse 13 and you have it in the last part of verse 11. Now, what does that mean functionally? What does that mean functionally? I think you have a very, very simple answer. What does it mean? What does it mean to count yourself alive to God the Father? Well, turn to Philippians, the second chapter in the 13th verse. There's all three persons of the Godhead involved here. The mind of Christ, God, the Holy Spirit making lust in that mind. But here's God the Father. Philippians 2:13. But it is God the Father that energizes in you to desirously will to be doing His good pleasure. Now what the point here is that we have a desire that comes from our new nature, that does His good pleasure. We'll come back to what that means in a minute and how that comes through. But I forgot a verse and it just came to me. What would the Pentecost? I just got a word. Okay, if you go to 1 Corinthians, I forgot the key verse there. The 15th chapter, the last verse. This fits right in with pleasing the Father, so it's okay. in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, after we intellectually and by promise of God and by faith see our future, what should it do in the present? I always don't have time to get to this because the other verses are so poignant and have such much deep doctrine in them. But look at verse 58. Therefore, based on the fact that you're going to get a glorified body, you divinely loved brothers in Christ, be firm and you can't even be moved, always abounding with plenty of what? Work for the Lord, or above of the Lord. For as much as we intellectually know that your toil, this is the real hard labor where you sweat, is not empty in Lord. So if I'm focusing on a glorified body, if I'm doing it right, it makes me want to work down here. That's what the verses say. Now that means over in Philippians, the work that I'm supposed to do is going to come from where? Well, it's going to come from my new nature, and it's going to come from the Father, because it'll please Him. That's what it says over there. Look over at Philippians 2:13. He gave you two things, both to desirously will and to be doing His good pleasure. Not just think about it, but actually do it. Now, let's put it together. This is a verse we've been to many, many times. Many, many times. And remember, this is in the context of how do I reckon myself dead. And what I said is, and I've said it every time, the sin nature doesn't die. I have to reckon myself to be separated from the sin nature. According to God's reckoning back in the 4th chapter, am I really separated from the sin nature? No, I just count myself to be what is not as though it is. Now if you look, we've seen here before, to what does the sin nature do? It gives me lust. By the way, you can prove there's a combination of lust turned, which is epithymia, turned to, and they're part of a desirous will. You can do that in 3 or 4 passages. You can look them up. I can give you the passages later. So it's not too much of a stretch that a lust becomes something that you desire to do. I've got verses for that. Now look over at Galatians, the 5th chapter and the 17th verse. Here is what is being described, or another aspect, or another way to describe Romans 6:11. For the flesh, list of 17 things in this passage, and the 18th thing includes anything that's like it. Oh, which reminds me, I got your little crib sheets on it, and I had it all ready to bring, and then I got thinking, that looks like one's missing, and I count them, there was one missing, and it's the one that gets me the most. So I said, must be a Freudian slip, we got to go back and put it in. I did that to just let you know how the sin nature works, okay? Verse 17, 5th chapter of Galatians. For the flesh has strong desires against the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, lipsis, has strong desires against the flesh. These two are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you desire, that you desire to do. Now let's go think this. Let's go back to Romans 6:11. This is, to me, it's simple. Romans 6:11. Okay. The sin nature's sending in a whole set of desires to me, the person. They never stop. I don't know about yours, but mine, the only time I get, it doesn't get me is pretty much, or go after me, is pretty much when I'm asleep. But the sin nature is sending in, that's scripture, sending in these desires. There's a time of rest, but we'll get to that later. Sending in these desires. So I say, as a person, I'm separated from those desires, but I'm really not. I'm counting it. If I stop there, I'm going to succumb every time. Now, what does the last part of the verse say? But alive unto the Father. Now, where would the desires of the Father come from? The Holy Spirit. So here's the point I'm trying to make. I hope I can get this across. The flesh has appeals. They're called lusts. The Holy Spirit has appeals. They're called lusts. I just read them to you. But either of those lusts can turn into my desire. I can have a desire in the realm of the new nature, a desire in the realm of my sin nature. But when I turn, using figurative speech, and focus on the lusts that come from the Holy Spirit, because that's going to please the Father, where am I alive to? Where am I having my action to? That's what alive means. It means doing something. Where is it? It's on what pleases the Father that comes from the Holy Spirit. And while I'm focusing on what pleases the Father that comes from the Holy Spirit, what am I separating my person from? What am I separating my person from? From the sin nature. But it's still there. Now, here's the key. Here's another key. Can I do that on my own? Turn to the 8th chapter. Now, I'm going to make a distinction here. It's very clear from these two verses, we're going to put some verses together, that I, as a person, have to count my person separated from the sin nature. But it's not clear that I can actually do on my own counting myself to be alive unto the Father, because who gives me the thoughts to be alive unto the Father? Well, they come from the Father. They're energized by the Father. I read that to you in Philippians 2:13. But who puts them in my mind? Galatians 5:17, the Holy Spirit. So I have to have divine enabling to count myself to be alive unto the Father. And I can't count myself to be dead to the sin nature until I'm alive to the Father. Do you see the deal? In other words, if you have these two sets of desires coming in, you're going to focus on one or the other. Here's a verse, 8th chapter of the book of Romans, the 13th verse. In case I forget to mention, when we count ourselves dead, it's physical. That's why we went over to 1 Corinthians 15. We are resurrected physically. It's our physical body that's resurrected. It's our physical body that has problems with the sin nature. It's our physical body that is duped in the realm of our soul to our sin nature. So it is in the realm of physical activity. That's the 58th verse of 1 Corinthians 15. That's the 12th and 13th verse of the 6th chapter of Romans. It's physical activity that I can either be a slave or a weapon to unrighteousness, or I can be a weapon to righteousness. So when I count myself to be separated from the sin nature, that's in the realm of physical separation. We never want to count ourselves spiritually dead. That's the stupidest statement I ever heard. I could think of other terms, but I don't want to stumble you. That's stupid. You never want to be separated from God, not even in your counting. But you do want to be separated from the physical nature of the physical life that is a weapon to unrighteousness. But you can't stay dead. You wouldn't be a person if you stayed dead. You have to animate somewhere, so you have to count yourself to be a weapon of righteousness. But you can't do it on your own. Now, here's what I'm saying. If you're right, I'll just be real clear. If I am rightly related to the Father, the Holy Spirit, and the Son, all three of those different relationships are all key. If I don't have that correct, I cannot do it. But when I have that correct and I can count myself, I have to do the counting of myself to be separate from these desires that the sin nature has. But I cannot make the Holy Spirit's lust attractive. He'll do that. For Romans 8:13. If we should happen, sake of argument, to live as measured by the flesh. Now, what life would that be? When you see the word live or life, it's either physical life, spiritual life, and if it's spiritual life, it's either resurrection life, or eternal life? What life would that be? Living by the flesh. Physical. If we should physically live by the flesh, you're going to physically die. And as a Christian, this is one of the 8 to 12 different passages that threaten a Christian with death if they sustain a lifestyle contrary to Christ. Keep going. But you live, that would be ellipsis, by, not through, by the Holy Spirit. So let's go back in our thinking to Romans 6:11. I myself count myself to be separate from the sin nature. I as a person have to do that. But how do I count myself to be alive under the Father? The Holy Spirit does that. The Holy Spirit. Let me do it another way. The attractions of the flesh become less attractive than the Holy Spirit if I'm rightly related to Him. These attractions don't go away, but I separate myself from them and I focus. We'll get over the third chapter of Colossians, you'll see. But I'll focus on these. That's alive under the Father. Let's go on. Verse 13 again. If we should live physically after the flesh, we're fixing to die physically. And if by, not through, by the Spirit, you do put to death the practices of the body, you shall go on living physically. Let's go back. But if through the Spirit you do put to death the deeds of the body, that's where body comes in. The deeds has the idea of practices. You'll go on living physically. You'll go on living physically. Now we're going to end it here. But let me write this down. I want you to, here's your assignment. Read 1 Corinthians 9, verses 24 through 27. And in the 27th verse, Paul says that in this life, apply it to us, that we are to live our life in such a way that we keep our body in subjection because we never wanted to prohibit our ministry for Christ. Paul had a different race course, but let's do it with our race course. And if I do one thing that prohibits my good works, my body is out of control. My body is, so we have to have our body under control. Now let's go back. We can end with this in Romans, the 6th chapter and the 13th verse. Present your members of your body as weapons of unrighteousness. Unrighteousness is a long word that means acting wrong, acting as though you unright unto the sin nature. So the sin nature is the source of unrighteousness. But present you body and yourself, actually yourself here, unto the God, that would be God the Father, as those that are alive out from among dead ones. There's our promise of the future again. I'm out from among dead ones. And the members of your body as weapons of righteousness unto God. You see, the whole point of overcoming the sin nature is so we can please the Father. Let's do it another way. If we're not wanting to please the Father, we can't overcome the sin nature. You see how they go hand in hand? I can't die to the sin nature until at the same moment and instant in my thinking I'm alive somewhere else. Because I as a person can't die. I'm always going to be functioning on something. I'm always going to function on some kind of desire. It's either going to be the desires of the sin nature or the desires of the new nature. And the only way I can focus, and we'll get over to Colossians, the third chapter, I can focus on the desires of the new nature, that are the lust of the Holy Spirit, is by divine enabling. And I can't go and get that divine enabling unless I already am rightly related to the Father and want to please Him. Then, let's do it another way. All these people that talk about in Christ, in Christ, in Christ, they forget regeneration and other things. But in Christ, I got to get my mind up there. No, you got to get right with the Father and He'll put your mind up there in the mind of Christ. No, You don't get in Christ. You are in Christ, but you're not counting it as so unless you have faith to believe the promises of your future. It's so simple. I saw that a couple of people got this, but long ago when I started this, I said, do you think a Christian who is newly saved, doesn't even know there's a book of Romans in the Bible, and he wants to please the Father, has no sins confessed, do you think the Holy Spirit can fill him? And the answer is yes. The answer is yes, because the Holy Spirit will make up thoughts. They're always there. If you're rightly related to the Father, the right thoughts are always there. But I, as a person, have to divorce or make count myself separated or dead to the wrong ones. Because then the right ones become in focus. I cannot do that on my own. You cannot. We have to have the Holy Spirit to do that. Our Father, we thank you for the folk. We ask for those that aren't here. We think in terms of Terry and her pain and the doctor situation as it is, that you'll give her peace, that she will one day have a body that won't be subject to pain. And she can, in some way, Paul says it with the Holy Spirit, in some way that helps us put up with the suffering in the present when we realize the future. We think of her and we think of the others that are out of town. We'd ask for their safe return into our little flock. And we thank you for that. Amen.